This is Dairy Radio Now with Bill Baker. Feed Form Friday.
With Dr. Mike Hutchins, Professor Emeritus from the University of Illinois. Hello, Mike.
Well, welcome to today's Feed Form, and our topic is going to be truth about microtoxins. And this is recently presented at a webinar by Paige Goddard from DSM. And be well aware, our listeners, that microtoxins are kind of a secondary metabolite. In other words, molds do not require this to grow, but it tends to serve as a protection mechanism for the mold itself. There are well over 100 different microtoxins have been identified. Some companies will analyze anywhere from 19 to 37 of these here. And the first one that caught a lot of attention was the 1960s was aflatoxin because of its carcinogenic effect it can have on humans and transfers into the milk. We look at microtoxins. Dr. Page said there are two groups. One is what we call field microtoxins, which means that the microtoxins are actually growing in the field. And the best example is ergot. If you've ever seen ergot growing on small grain heads, you'll know what I mean. Another group would be those that grow in storage, if conditions are right. Aflatoxin would be an excellent example of one that falls in that category. So she mentioned a number of different myths. So let's go through these quickly for our listeners. All molds produce microtoxins. That's not true. Some molds do not produce it, does not affect animals as well. But when molds are growing on feed, it reduces the nutrient content of the feed and can impact palatability. Myth number two, if you don't see mold, there is no microtoxin. And that's wrong, Bill, because the microtoxin is microscopic in size. You just cannot see it very easily. Myth number three ties into that, and that is a visual inspection. So if you can't see it, it can't be there. But remember, there's going to be hot spots. And certainly if you see broken seeds, discoloration, you might be concerned about that, and that's why a lot of the export companies will screen grains before put them through a sieve to get rid of the broken seed. Myth number four says that it only occurs in grain and byproducts. It's wrong. It can also pop up in oils and silages, pasture, grass conditions, straw, and hay as far as that goes. Myth number five, poor storage conditions will always cause molds and microtoxin. Answers, yes, they are at higher risk. So proper storage, regulating moisture content of the grain, humidity, and temperature are going to be factors as well. There are risks that will occur with storage. Number six, fungicide will completely prevent microtoxins. And again, that is an incorrect statement. It has to be very specific and put on at the correct time. Myth number seven, well, if I've got high-yielding crops this year, there will be no molds or microtoxins, and that's incorrect. Even though we may have big crops this year in the Midwest, just doesn't mean that we may not have some risks of microtoxins depending on the growing conditions. Number eight is nine going together. Easy to predict. In other words, animals will tell you. If there's microtoxins, animals will give you signs. Remember, some of the signs of microtoxins include lower dry matter intake and loose feces. And remember, there's lots of things in the farm that can cause that as well. Myth number 10, ruminants are not affected. And that is incorrect. Ruminants do knock out some of the microtoxins by the rumen microbes, but of course some of it gets through and therefore can cause problems. Myth number 11, nothing can be done if you have microtoxins, and that's incorrect. We can discard that, especially if it's like in the surface of a bunker silo. We can dilute it down with clean feed. We can use binders to deactivate it as well. And finally, binders are always effective, and the answer is no, that's not true. It depends a little bit on which binder you're using and how high the contamination is. One commercial company will go in and add two or three times the normal level for 2 weeks and then reduce it back. So our take-home messages include that microtoxins are going to be risks, Bill. Number two, there are management and monitoring things we can do on the farm. And binders and silage inoculants are good risk reducers. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you, Mike. That's Dr. Mike Hutchins, Professor Emeritus from the University of Illinois, featured every Friday here on our Feed Forum Friday on Dairy Radio Now. Switching from feeding our cows to feeding humans.
This year, food shoppers have been seeing grocery prices each month either remaining stubbornly steady or going up. However,
grocery prices fell by 0.1% in August.
Yes, they fell. Not a huge drop, but USDA economist Megan Schweitzer told us it's a good sign for consumers.
This is the first time that we've seen grocery prices decline in 2024. There's been demand from consumers and pressure in retailers on manufacturers to sort of keep prices from rising even further. And so that, along with other factors such as lower energy and gas prices, have helped to slow rising costs.
Our thanks to USDA Radio's Gary Crawford for that report. And I'm Bill Baker, Dairy Radio Now.